Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my conscious friends, and welcome to the Dr. Sarah Let's Talk About It Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Brodsky. Well, welcome to the show. And yes, tonight on the show, we are going to talk again about a relevant topic, an intense one at best. And it's often a very, let's say, heated and or controversial type of topic in that there's so many nuances to it, there's so many dimensions to it that we'll probably just scratch the surface tonight. However, are you ready to explore that? And tonight's topic will be on human trafficking and ways to navigate it from a very conscious point of view. Now, I am having a guest on again tonight that has been on the show before, Liz Tupling, and we are going to explore this topic from a space of getting clear on really what it is and how to really look at it from a space where you have choice in a very no-choice type of situation. And so it's going to be a two-part series. It's going to be tonight, as well as we're looking to speak about this again a couple episodes out. It looks like mid-May, May 13th to be exact at this point. So what I'm going to do before we jump right into this topic and really get to the nuances of it, I'm going to just do a real quick recap on the topic that Liz and I explored before, and that's gaslighting, because so much of what is currently related, I would say, to human trafficking is this underlying gaslighting that occurs. So let me just recap on what gaslighting is. Now, according to Stephanie Sarkis, Dr. Stephanie Sarkis, gaslighting is a manipulation tactic used to gain power, and it works too well. Gaslighting is a tactic in which a person or entity, in order to gain more power, makes a victim question their reality. It works much better than you may think. And when it comes to the human trafficking, this is just the underlying way that people end up being manipulated is through this gaslighting. Now, some common techniques are used by abusers, dictators, narcissists, and cult leaders. They do use gaslighting. It is a form of brainwashing. So, which brings us to this topic of human trafficking. Now, what is human trafficking? Let me do a real thorough explanation on this before we jump into the topic. And this is according to Homeland Security. This is on their website. Now, human trafficking is a modern-day slavery. It involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion as a way to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. Every year, millions of men, women, and children are trafficked in countries around the world, including the United States. It is estimated that human trafficking generates many billions of dollars of profit per year, second only to drug trafficking as the most profitable form of transnational crime. So human trafficking is a hidden crime, as victims rarely come forward to seek help because of language barriers, fear of the traffickers, and or fear of law enforcement. Traffickers use force, fraud, or coercion to lure their victims and force them into labor or commercial sexual exploitation, that is. They look for people who are susceptible for a variety of reasons, including psychological or emotional vulnerability, economic hardship, lack of social safety net, and natural disasters or political instability. So we are going to explore this topic and also come to it and come from a different point of view in a way that will allow us to get clear on what else is possible here. What are ways to shift this into a change that is really possible in a space where people can look at it from a space of awareness and possibilities? So we're aiming to get clear on this show ways to do that. And in particular, this episode is really going to focus on, you know, how aware are you of what human trafficking is and get clear on what it is. So we're going to jump right into the show now. And I'm going to go ahead and bring on Liz Tupling. So let me introduce to you Liz first, a formal introduction as always. So Liz is a private practice integrative psychotherapist and conscious living facilitator with an office in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. In her work, she is dedicated to guiding individuals, families, and organizations toward more fulfilling relationships and life experiences. Working with a broad range of clients, Liz uses an integrative treatment style to assist people in moving forward toward emotional wholeness and connectedness, while helping people better understand the role of their individual histories, contributions, and choices. She offers a therapeutic approach that encompasses the mind, body, spirit, in its totality. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Liz back on the show. Hi, Liz.
Good evening, Dr. Sarah. Thank you so much for having me on this evening to talk about such a huge and powerful topic.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so grateful that you're coming on the show as well, and I'm so interested to explore this topic, certainly from just getting clear on what it is and ways we can navigate it from a much more empowered, potent, and space of possibilities, because that's the part that may often not get looked at.
Absolutely. And I think it was wonderful that you know, as we're about to dive into this topic, you set it up and introduced it in connection with and conjunction with our former topic that we discussed, gaslighting, because that makes, you know, that really sets the stage for a trafficking scenario to exist, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm wondering how much of the time it's the gaslighting is almost the doorway into then the trafficking. Like this is, that's almost like the setup.
Yes, it is the setup. Really, it creates these conditions that are ripe for a manipulation, or at least, you know, taking advantage of someone's vulnerability, maybe their economic disadvantage, you know, compromised economic conditions that they're living in, whatever the case may be. But you're right, it is absolutely the quintessential setup that creates these very vulnerable and ripe conditions for trafficking to even take place.
Yeah, and it really goes to the, let's say, insanity and mindset of the individuals that are looking to pull in these victims, you know, through the fraud and through all of the different acts that then occur as a result of the human trafficking. You know, and Liz, I'm grateful as we were looking at this topic, even us exploring it together, that we came across some indicators of human trafficking. I'm wondering, why don't we start with that and look at these key indicators? And again, this information comes from Homeland Security website on the internet. So, you know, listeners, you're welcome to check it out there. But we are going to use this information and the factual information provided from this website as a way to springboard into this topic. So a lot of times the first step in identifying what, you know, the key things to trafficking is for these victims, here are some common indicators. So one of them, and we can start with this, Liz, is the person is fearful, timid, or submissive. So that's one of the indicators.
For sure. And so, again, there's a set of conditions right there that really lend themselves to kind of the perfect setup for a predatory individual who is, you know, targeting more of a compromised, group of people. And so fitting that kind of profile of being fearful or timid or submissive, something that you and I have talked about previously in relation to this topic is, you know, the idea of when we're fearful, timid, or submissive, we're also not aware that we have choices. And that is perfect and ripe grounds for a predator to just kind of swoop in and create these ideal conditions to set up a trafficking ring, because people who are not aware of choice or who are not aware that they have agency, again, there's the huge vulnerability right there.
Which oftentimes, you know, if we really look at being conscious, it's a very unconscious space. And especially if it's, you know, if someone is in this space, I'm wondering how much of their life are they living in an unconscious area. And that's a lot of times where then the fear and the timid and submissive exist. And that really this is about getting people to wake up and be present, that in the awareness, then they can have choice. But we have to start in looking at where people aren't willing or haven't been willing to be present with this. And maybe even with the topic in general, it's about being aware and rather than in fear. But if we're afraid of something, we oftentimes cut ourselves off from seeing it, which a lot of times these victims end up being not seeing it coming.
Yes, and before they know it, they're in it. And just to kind of piggyback that, Dr. Sarah, I think also too, and you talk about fear and fear being maybe kind of the predominant feeling or energy, it seems to sometimes show up as a very transgenerational phenomenon, where generation after generation have lived in certain conditions where fear has really, really, really run the show. Fear around survival, fear around, economic conditions, poverty. Will they get out of poverty? How do we get out of poverty? Poverty. How do we just survive this lifetime? And I feel like that transgenerational component makes such a huge contradiction. Where, like you said, if that awareness can be built, it can actually stop that cycle. Awareness of choice.
Yes. And that if we can stop that generational, pass on, or where people are absorbing that from generation to generation, what else is possible now that we can actually choose to do it differently now? And maybe by just having discussions about this topic, like you and I showing up on the show and being present and willing to look at all aspects of it, that this is part of what can do that interference with this ongoing lineage pass on, that people can actually now change. I mean, it can change very quickly if there's other possibilities presented. But I love that you're pointing this out, because a lot of times, you know, when we're not in a space of looking at things clearly, it does kind of, it's called biomimetic mimicry. It gets passed on from one person to the next, and you just absorb how you're supposed to be, which can be such a limitation, especially when it comes to this.
Yes. Yes. And without that awareness of choice, of agency, of, you know, I'm able to choose something differently than my ancestors did, we're at risk of falling into the same old traps and finding this replication, this duplication of all of these old themes and perpetrations. And it's something that we definitely, you know, if we can put a stop to that, you know, it's just beautiful and light and amazing, and just bringing some awareness around it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm wondering too, you know, if we look at these other indicators, where the perpetrator will likely try to feed into where that person is vulnerable. where they they may have not maybe created that separation from family, or there is this disconnect from which then the perpetrator can move into that space. So it's one of those areas where the perpetrator may try to seduce the person into a better lifestyle or a better way of being, when really this is part of the trafficking.
Right, and part of the illusion of security and safety. And I think in some family cultures and some family systems, and in many parts of the world, and including here in the United States, there can be this kind of thing that goes on with sometimes even economically disparaged parents handing over youngsters, young adults, or, you know, and encouraging it as a way of achieving and finding economic security, with the understanding that you'll be someone's property. And that's okay.
Wow.
As long as you're safe, and as long as you have a roof over your head. That those confinements, restrictions, and being someone else's property is what you trade in order for security.
Wow.
That brings up a whole nother
space where it's almost like, because they are in a state of survival almost, or in a place where they are so deficient that they actually turn to the human trafficker as a way to have that provided to them. Wow.
Right. And to go back to the choice thing, a lot of times when they have the option to be freed up, that scenario, if there has been a trafficking ring bust, it's been broken up and the perpetrators are, you know, in custody. A lot of times the individuals who have been the victims in these rings have a difficult time separating from their captor, so to speak. It's almost like a Stockholm syndrome, because they just become in bed, right? So, yeah, and so the ability to choose the freedom at that point is so confusing. There's so much blurring, you know, again, because there hasn't been choice for so long.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, it brings it back to that gaslighting, where one of those indicators is when the person's being brainwashed, like almost brainwashed to believe that this is really their only choice, or this is a way that almost a weird roundabout distorted affection for the person that's actually the persecutor, that because of the fear of being exposed or the uncertainty or maybe even the fear of reporting it, because a lot of times the victims tend not to report. In fact, and in part because they feel like they won't be heard, or they don't want to reveal, maybe there's a threat to their life. It's, you know, there's so many key components that really limit a person from being willing to show up and report these acts.
Sure, and just to stay underground and remain off the radar. And, you know, kind of coming from the point of view of, hey, you know, maybe this is as good as it gets for me in my lot in life, you know, not being aware of what else could be possible. Maybe the generational story is, here, this could be as good as it gets for you. So take the lesser of all of the evil and, you know, just kind of keep your head down and do what you need to do, because at least, you know, you've got a roof over your head for the time being.
Yes. Wow. So it really ends up being, there's no words for all that. It's just, and so, you know, certainly as we're looking at this, and we're going to be looking at this tonight and into our next show, it's really looking, you know, at this whole topic from what else is possible, to acknowledge, you know, certainly the insanity of it, the heaviness of it, and at the same time, we know the solution, quote-unquote, does not reveal itself in the problematic space of it, but more so from what else is possible now that can be done and can be created and generated from all of this. You know, certainly this has been around for a long time. And if it's not been deemed under the human trafficking language, it's certainly, you know, a form of slavery that's been around for hundreds of years, for that matter.
Yes, for which, you know, many, many, many people over lifetimes have actually benefited from economically. And so, and that lends itself into this other topic of, you know, the identity of the people who are the victims of trafficking becomes an identity of me, my body. We are here to be of service to other people, to provide pleasure to other people. And my body is literally just this thing that's here that everyone has access to for their own benefit. You know, and that there's that piece of it as well. It's just that, you know, I have a couple clients who were not involved in trafficking, but something very, very close in, along the lines of prostitution and whatnot. And there is a complete disconnect from the idea that this is you and your body. Like you and your body are together. You're connected. There's this total breakdown, and the body is literally something that you're walking around with that is simply here to pleasure and give, you know, to provide an experience to everyone else.
Wow. Like it's so normalized for it to be just, that's the way it is.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. And people, and, you know, somebody economically benefits from it. And then somebody, you know, the person who is the consumer of this experience or service, they benefit from it as well. But the person who is the actual victim of it, really, they're a means to an end. And I think that becomes a part of the identity of a person who is involved in this.
Which is brings up a really interesting point and also an interesting energy. There's an energy to this where a lot of people may, who have been in situations like this, not considered it a wrongness. Like it's almost like it's just the way they've been told to be, and that they don't even know otherwise, which really brings up a point. A lot of these indicators that we're looking at, it's more about seeing the signs of if someone's being in a space of human trafficking, because the person being human trafficked, it tends to may not even know that this is a bad thing. It's more of the signs of people from the outside looking in as, wow, these are indicators, like, has the child stopped attending school, or does the person appear disconnected from family and friends? Like, the person being trafficked may not even know that this is something of a negative, heavy space.
Oh, for sure. It's highly unlikely that they have an awareness around that, especially if they're in a, you know, you're fairly isolated and insulated when you're in a trafficking community, because you're not given a heck of a lot of access to the outside world. So once you're out of the mainstream of kids going to school and doing some of the things that other kids are doing, but you're outside of that and you're secluded, you're really amongst another group of people, girls, boys, men, women, and who are doing the same thing, and it becomes literally kind of like your job that you're going to, I sense, you know, and you're all just doing the same job, and it almost kind of gets, it becomes neutralized, right?
Yeah, and it almost, like, it's like part of the environment.
Yeah. Well, sure,
And I was just going to say, just some quick statistics, that last year, National Hotline reported a total of 20,424 cases in the United States alone. In California, with 1,012 cases, and then followed by Texas, Florida, Ohio, New York, Georgia, and our good old home state here of Michigan followed. So this is how common it is. And basically, according to the United Nations, there are between 27 and 30 million modern-day slaves in the world. So in the U.S., apparently, the State Department cities that, and again, 600,000 to 800,000 people are trafficked across borders every year. So those are some statistics just to confirm, really, you know, how rampant this is, and how each of the points that we're making tonight really kind of signify where it comes from or how it's being reinforced.
Exactly, exactly, how it's being reinforced. And, you know, it's something that is, oh my gosh, those statistics, Dr. Sarah, are staggering. I mean,
aren't they?
I myself had no idea. It's really appalling. Truly.
Well, and Liz, I'm even on this note, it looks like we're short of time. However, this may be a great place for us to pick up on our next episode, and we can really start again, maybe identifying some further indicators of human trafficking and also kind of delve into the possibilities of what else is possible and how can we be the voice in the world to these individuals that may not be able to voice it themselves and see it clearly. And I'm so grateful that you and I had a chance to explore it from a space of consciousness and from a place of just, you know, an awareness that our, you know, that the listeners can take with them as well to further understand this topic and see it clearly.
Well, thank you so much. And I just am so grateful that we were able to have this discussion and, you know, bring some awareness to people out there who might be affected by it or who have an interest in it. And again, just thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Absolutely, Liz. And I'll look forward to having you back on in just a couple weeks.
Absolutely. To be continued.
To be continued. Absolutely. Sounds great. And just real quick, there, if you suspect human trafficking, here's a number that you can use to contact and report to individuals that can actually support you on it. And the number is 1-866-347-2423. So, my friends, my conscious friends, here's the question of the week. The question of the week is, how aware of human trafficking are you? So how aware of human trafficking are you? Just be with that question this week. See what comes to your awareness. And just be aware of what's going on around you. And again, if you notice anything, if you're concerned about anything, there's that report hotline that you could use. And or just knowing that you're contributing and seeing things clearly can be such a contribution to this topic in general. So now, next week's episode, I am excited to have on, it's going to actually be a repeat episode, that Sylvia Remington will be welcome back on the show. I'll be having Sylvia on as a repeat show. And Sylvia is an Access Consciousness BARS facilitator and now a certified facilitator herself. So I look forward to having that conversation with Sylvia. And it looks like that will be Monday, April the 29th at 6 p.m. Standard Time. So now I would like to go ahead and close the show by thanking my guest again, Liz Pupling, for joining us today, as well as thank each of you, the listeners, for your amazing energy and contribution. I really couldn't do without you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. My gratitude goes out to you. And I would also like to acknowledge how grateful I am to be your host. And I so look forward to continuing to be part of this journey with you. How does it get any better than that? And so, go forth this week and be aware, be conscious, be in the space of choice and possibilities and contribution yourself, and how that can contribute to the world. Wow, how does it get any better than that? So knowing you being you and the difference that you be is the difference this world requires. So go forth knowing I have your back. And go forth and be, perceive, and receive it all, my conscious friends. And I will look forward to talking to you again next time. Okay, bye for now.